Hare Krishna everyone. So today's talk, it is called Earth Song, a planet in danger. So today we will be discussing, we will be presenting a little bit about our planet, the Earth, and we will be giving some solution, and we will be viewing the whole thing in perspective of Bhagavad Gita. So let's go on. Initially, I have a question for you. I'm sure it's not so clear for you. So, can you guess what is there on the top right hand side? It's a pool. I'll give you one hint. It's a pool with some wave on it. Can you guess what it is? Okay. No answers. It can be wild guesses. No problem. Anything would you like to say? It's a pool and there is a water wave in it. Alright, no answer. So I'll better I say. It's not clear obviously because of the projection. Anyway, okay. This is actually something to do with the tsunami. So this is known as a tsunami basin developed by Oregon State University in the US to study the tsunami. So after we had big mishap, they started researching on tsunami, how it is happening and how we can model that mathematically, how we can predict and how we can practically demonstrate. So this is the test basin they have developed, and this is a photo of that. So it's basically a pool. In one hand there is wave generator, so the water waves are generated from one end with a particular wavelength and with a particular height, and the basin, it is slanted just like our swimming pool, because as we know, the tsunami when it was hit, one side was very deep and went towards the shore, it is very shallow. So how the hydrodynamics works in this regard, the study that they had this model developed. So we will just go further into it. So as we know, tsunami is caused by the earthquake. It is known as Sumatran Andaman earthquake of Richter scale 9.1. So here is some technological development after the mishap, after the tsunami. So the left side shows a tsunami warning system. So on the surface, that is on the ground or the basin of the ocean, they have deployed quite a few sensor nodes. These are called wireless sensor nodes, and it is deployed in Pacific Ocean, Atlantic, so that to get to know what's really going on. So these sensor nodes are present, and to that it is transmitted all the data, that is the earthquake data and the water level data, water disturbance data, being transmitted to the transmitter node, which is actually floating. And whatever information is present, it is sent to the satellite and to the nearest base station. So ultimately the aim is to get an alarm. It's like we had bushfire and then we got some message from the police. I got one, saying, okay, this is a dangerous situation, it's going to be windy, etc. So similarly, it is expected that in future we might get an alarm on our mobile phone, tsunami, maybe run away. So that is the end of this technological development as so far. And on top right hand side is the deployment of a transmitter. You can see on a ship, it's quite huge. It is being deployed. So let's move on. So however, how much of a technological development has happened, still we have to remember what really happened. What is the mishap? More than 150,000 people were killed. And more than 26,000 still missing. So don't know, and many were displaced. So if you see the pictures, it's really horrendous whatever happened. So I was speaking to one of my colleague, I would say, and he was from the Monash University, and he was mentioning to me after this tsunami mishap, he was mentioning to me how he is planning to direct his theoretical research into tsunami, that is how to build a proper mathematical model and how to predict, etc. So when something goes on like this, there is a community who is after you know, to research, to study what's happening, what's the solution, etc. However, no one knows why exactly these things happen. Yeah, one can give a nice physical description. One can explain the physics behind that. However, no one knows the real reason. Why Earth is behaving like this? We'll go to something else. This is a picture from earthquake in China, you know, few months back. And also we heard a few days back in Italy, earthquake, and it killed around 200 people. And this was over 100,000 people. Here we see the water formation there on bottom left hand side. That is actually called earthquake lake. Because of earthquake, these kind of formations were made, and the gushing water, it was a big danger for a few months. So in the newspapers you could see how this collected water due to earthquake was creating danger to the whole town, because it can submerge the whole town in this water. This is called earthquake lake. It was a big trauma for many months. Again, we wonder why this thing happened. Why Earth is behaving like this? Is God up there? Few questions like that. And on fire, I don't have to explain what it is. Everyone experienced, at least had a reasonable idea about what happened here on Black Saturday. It was, you know, few weeks back, or maybe a month now. That's all. So the temperature is increasing. The heat is increasing, and along with the high wind, you know, it is just blazing fire in the forest, in the bushfire. In fact, devotees were explaining, one devotee, a group of devotees from here, went to the bushfire affected area for prasadam distribution, because many people were literally suffering, unable to get proper vegetarian diet. Well, as you know, many people are vegetarians here, and they couldn't get anything proper to eat, even though military was providing their food supply. So the devotee who was Bhakta Prabhu, he was giving a lecture, when he was driving through the bushfire affected area, it was not just few houses, but the mountains. The mountain after mountain is completely nothing there. No more trees, no more bushes, it's completely wiped out. So if you see the severity of the disaster, it's really severe. And they really appreciated devotees for giving prasadam, distributing very healthy food. So we see, even in Australia is sometimes known as a lucky country, because not so much of, you know, suffering, as it is said, you know, it's a no worries mate. Still here, you know, people were really suffering and are still suffering. You know, around 200 people, you know, died, you know, and around 2,000 homes were burned in ashes. So if you see the severity, it's heavy. Again, we might wonder, why is this happening? Why Earth is behaving like this? Who is the cause behind this? Are we the cause? We might have to think. Go further. Oh, this is a, you know, this theme is being discussed all around the world, you know, again and again. Among the great leaders in UN, US President, everywhere, industrialists. What is that? I want a response from you people. Exactly, it's straightforward, it is global warming. What is that? Basically, the greenhouse gases which are required to warm up the earth. So 0.03% of earth, the atmosphere of earth is carbon dioxide. So that is required to heat up the earth planet. So when the sunrise hits the earth surface, and when it tries to escape, this carbon dioxide tries to save it. It is called greenhouse effect. So we get enough heat, but what happens if the carbon dioxide content is increased? That causes global warming or increase in temperature of the whole earth, which is directly causing the increase of sea level, which means reduction in land mass. So you can see the joke, you know, the few, you know, the whales are joking around. They are saying, okay, if the temperature is increasing and if the sea level is rising, we will have a nice meal. And you can see someone sitting there and, you know, trying to fish. You know, so he will be their meal. So that is the situation. That is, and you see the polar bear there? So it is supposed to be ice everywhere, but now it is on an island, landed on an island. A little bit of ice rest, it's just water. That's what's happening down south on the pole, both poles. So severe. And we know the depletion of the ozone layer. Again, a severe, you know, this ozone hole, as it is called. Ozone hole means the severe lack of density of the ozone layer, which is causing the ultraviolet rays to come down and to affect the health of many people. So for Australia, actually CRC, ARC has developed a testing center down at the top tip of Tasmania. So whenever a breeze, a heavy wind is coming, they will take some sample and they will measure what is the content and how it is being polluted by the ozone hole. So it's a severe incident and it's being discussed all around the world. And if you see, there is not something known as the carbon credit. Have you heard about carbon credit? It's like now the countries have got some carbon credit. Each country has got a limit to that which they can emit carbon dioxide by industrialization or vehicular means or whatever. So the countries are trying to sell their carbon credits. That is, they are trying to sell it to other countries who are using less carbon dioxide or who are emitting less carbon dioxide. They are trying to sell their carbon credits to other countries because the whole atmosphere is getting polluted. So, you know, the whole, who are watching the environment, they are trying to put some watch, put some check on the emission. That's the reason this carbon credit is being come into play. Now, let's go further. So, whom to blame? Any guesses? Whom to blame? Someone else like that? Whom to blame? Ourselves? It's a good point. Ourselves, yeah. If we have to see whom to blame, we have to see what are the human activities which are leading to this kind of bad effect to our own planet. It's like there are so many different living beings. You know, there are so many kind of animals, aquatics, trees. But none of them actually causes damage to its own habitat. But humans have got this highly developed intelligence by which we can actually destroy our own habitat. So one motto of one of the mission was, change your habits for habitat. It's interesting. So let's see how it goes. So if we list down, so one is nuclear waste. You might be remembering, you know, maybe 15 years back, it was in Chernobyl. It was a heavy, it is in Ukraine. It caused death of, you know, thousands of people because of nuclear waste. It is always a problem to dispose the nuclear waste because it is radioactive and you cannot use landmass to just throw, dump. And what they do? They go to the sea and go to the seabed and they drop it. Then what happens to the aquatics? Don't know. There is a severe effect. And they tried actually to hide the effect of Chernobyl for some time, but eventually it came out. And the sad effect is that it's almost 16 or 17 years till the children born there have birth defects. Still. After 18 years. So we have to see what is the severity of the incident. It is said that the nuclear products we have at this point on all these developed countries, if you utilize in a wrong way, it can cause damage to the earth for another 25,000 years. Can we imagine? So severe is the bad effect of human activities. Next, we'll just go to the briefly about the toxic waste. Toxic waste, you know, the industrialization, many of the waste products are quite toxic. We can't do anything. It cannot fertilize the soil. It will rather kill everything. So it happened in Bhopal, Union Carbide incident in 85, I think. What happened? The poisonous gas emanated overnight and it caused death of how many thousands? I think a few, how many? 4,000 or more. I think it's close to 7,000 people. And around, I think 25,000 people were affected. So this is the case of toxic waste. And no solution as such. And pesticides. Another thing. Anyone from Andhra? Anyone from Andhra? It's a province in India. Anyone from Andhra? If you are there, okay. It's very interesting because Andhra is well known in producing one thing. Rice. Apart from that, one more thing, which is very important for people from Andhra. The chilies. the chilies. You know, red, green, everything. So what happened was from Andhra, a lot of export used to happen of chilies to UK and US. And I think a couple of years back, both the countries, they said, we don't want anymore, we are banning, due to one reason, because of pesticides, which were very toxic, which could kill. And how it happened? It happened because there was this chili field, and side by side there was cotton field. So through aerial way, they were spraying the toxic pesticides for cotton. And basically it was spraying all around chili as well. And they were just, you know, it is being exported. at least they could detect there is some issue. But, you know, if it goes otherwise, you know, it is very dangerous. Air pollution, water pollution, no need to say. You know, it is said in Mumbai, a typical example, even World Wasp produces. In Mumbai, one day if you live in Mumbai, the pollution is so severe that it is equivalent to smoking 10 cigarettes. This is actually a statistic given by World Wasp. It's true. So we had to see our own planet, what's really going on. It's quite serious. Water pollution. Water pollution and there is scarcity of water. Water depletion. You know, Australia is more towards not water pollution, rather it is, you know, water depletion. There's not enough water. Anyway, thanks. We have, in near Geelong, there's a desalination plant being set up, $20 billion worth project. Recycle the water from the sea. That's what is happening in the Middle East. They don't have any water source. So what they do? Take water from the sea, remove the source, add the minerals what is required, and produce. It's very expensive though. They have the oil money, so use it as far as it goes, you know. Have to drink something. So even water, air, the basic ingredients of human life is being challenged. The soil, the earth, water, air, which are basics. It's not huge. Though we claim to be highly technologically advanced, still the basic things we are missing. There is issue in the basic things. Now, another perspective. Can you see anything there? I can see something. Can you see some red color? Can you see, is it water? It's a colored water. What was that? Was it playing Holi? You know, it's an Indian festival. Holi. Is it Holi festival? No, that is water. I'll give you a few clues because the vision is not so clear. It's a body of water. Actually, it's a bay. And you can see red color. Can you see colored water? Can you see? What is that? Salt.
Soil.
Okay. Any other question? Chemicals. Anything else?
Algae.
Oh yeah, I got this answer before also from someone. Yeah. Not here, somewhere else, but no.
Blood.
Yeah, it is. It is blood. It is a result of whale slaughter. Whale slaughter. You know, water is red. See that, you know, this is just for fun there, right? It's just terrible. It's a whale slaughter. Japan, for instance, Japan is well known for that. Even irrespective of the treaties, they do this horrendous act again and again. Because it is a very famous cuisine to get the meat of the whale. And it is said of all the big fishes, 90% is extinct at this point of time by the human activity of past 50 years. Can you imagine? The past 50 years, last 50 years, we have extinct 90% of all kind of big fishes in the sea. So this is the kind of human activities, you know, we are facing. That's what is going on. Though we think, you know, the technological development is nice, okay, I got a laptop, it's good, it is useful. But when we see the side effect, it is, you know, it makes us think what's really going on. And a few more statistics regarding this about meat and environment. It is said of all raw materials and fossil fuels currently used in the US, more than one third goes to raising animals for food. You see, we usually when we think meat and environment has nothing to do to each other. It is two different things. But no, both are correlated. In fact, it is negatively correlated. More meat production means it is badly affecting the environment. Agricultural inefficiency means if to produce 1 kg of any meat, it requires 16 kg of grain. Ratio of 1:16. So rather, if you feed the same grain to human beings, it can solve the hunger problem to a great extent. Water pollution and water depletion, because you know so much of water is consumed by the meat industry, and air pollution for the meat processing. So these are sad facts. So you save more water by not eating a pound of beef than you do by not showering for hand, by not showering for an entire year. One more. Eating 1 pound of meat emits the same amount of greenhouse gases as driving an SUV 40 miles. SUV, okay, it's not a normal car. You know, it's a sports utility, big one. So that much is the effect or bad effect of meat on the people, on the environment. Now we have to move to some solution. It is sustainable planet through spiritual knowledge. That is the understanding we get from the spiritual text. When we always try to get knowledge from the human endeavor, there can be always defects. A perfect example for this is regarding cigars. Cigarettes. Now everyone knows cigarettes is harmful for health. Everyone knows. No need to tell. But back in 50s, it was considered very cool to smoke. And there was a few ads. And recently I watched one of the ads and it was really shocking. The caption of the advertisement, it goes like this. Doctor, which brand do you smoke? So the whole advertisement was showing, asking doctors, which brand do you smoke? And there is a nice doctor sitting with a nurse behind and he is just puffing. And he is telling, no, I smoke Camel, this is the best one. And it is, you know, it's natural, it's organic, you know, giving the whole sort of reasons, you know. So this was a bona fide ad 50 years back. And that time it was well accepted that cigarette smoking is good for health. It's good for hardworking people. So we had to see, and it, you know, everyone, including doctors. So we had to see when something is presented in this world, how much misleading it is. And now it is completely opposite. So even with industrialization, even with the so-called technological development, some things are very negative. At least at this point of time, we have to accept. We have to see both the sides. We cannot just take one side and neglect the other side completely. So this is another interesting point. That is, this havoc is created in a short span of 100 years. So the human civilization, it was existing for thousands of years. But the whole damage was caused in last 100 years or less than 100 years. It's heavy. It makes us think, what are we doing? So we say, instead of trying to get perfect knowledge from us, from the imperfect, why not try to get some knowledge from the Supreme, from the perfect source of knowledge. So that's the reason we aim towards the spiritual text. that Prabhu was announcing will be the ancient text of Bhagavad Gita. So we try to derive knowledge from such ancient texts, which is perfect because it is deriving from the Supreme Source and it is ascending knowledge. Sorry, it is descending knowledge. Descending means it is coming from the top to bottom, rather than we try to speculate, go from bottom to top. That is ascending process. So when we try to derive knowledge from the descending process, it has value. Why? Because in the ascending process, or if we try to speculate, or if we try to use our senses to gain some knowledge, it filters through the imperfection of our senses and mind. However, when we obtain it from the Supreme, we can obtain perfectly. So that is the whole idea of gaining knowledge and moving in this direction. Now, to this end, this chaotic situation of Earth, there was a similar incident happened few thousands of years back, and this is recorded in the ancient spiritual scripture called Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that, Mother Earth speaks. So it's a rare incident, that is, Mother Earth speaks out. She tells what she is going through. She mentions why she is in a bad shape. Isn't it interesting? Because Earth herself gives her opinion. So there was a king, his name was Vena. He was ruling over this earth and he was completely against the spiritual life, and he was creating such a havoc to the whole world. And in this regard, Mother Earth speaks to King Prithu, who came after King Vena. She says, "My dear king, the seeds, roots, herbs and grain are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. As far as I am concerned, I am not being properly maintained. Indeed, I am being neglected by kings who are not punishing these rascals who have turned into thieves by using grains for sense gratification. Consequently, I have hidden all the seeds which were meant for the performance of sacrifice." So here Mother Earth is mentioning two important points. That is, one, the humans are meant to be spiritually conscious. They are meant to develop some spiritual understanding. And whatever resources she is providing is ultimately meant for sacrifice. So let's see how does it make sense. What is meant by the spiritual understanding? Why is it significant? That is the first point we will have a look. And then, what is sacrifice? So we had to go a little further. Okay. So now I will ask you a question. So we saw too many killing factors. One was, you know, we saw tsunami, earthquake, you know, hundreds and thousands of people were killed. And now, from the real understanding, who is the biggest killer?
Nature.
One answer. Anything else?
Time.
Interesting. Time is the biggest killer. How can we say that? Do you know what is the death rate per day? How many people are dying a day? It is 153,000 a day. So tsunami caused death of, you know, I think 157. So we worry about that, you know, it happened, you know, a couple of years back, and we still talk about that. But the fact is, people are dying every day. And the number of people is 153, the, you know, current stat. So that is the severity. So time is the biggest killing factor. Now, Mother Earth is saying, okay, you have to develop some spiritual knowledge. Why? One should know why are you present in this planet? Earth is asking, okay, the purpose behind our existence in this planet. It is like if you go to Flinders Street Station, for example, or you go to airport, okay, you have a ticket, you check in your luggage, you are in the lounge. Why do you go there? What is the purpose? Just to relax. Go to airport to just relax. And I'll have a good time. You know, I have nothing else to do here. We'll go to airport. No. Why? There is some purpose. What is that? To go somewhere. Okay? To fly somewhere. So there is some destination. In the same way, Mother Earth is stressing that one should develop some spiritual knowledge on the basis that there is some reason for being present on this planet, to living in this planet. That is to go somewhere. There is some destination. So that's the reason we be here. And how to understand this? What is the destination? What is the? We have to understand we are in an identity crisis. That is a common thing, you know, identity crisis. You know, you have seen, especially among the madmen, you know, there is a huge issue, you know, if you go to a mental asylum, people, you see people climbing so many things. Some may say, you know, I am American president, you know, I am this, I am that, you know, so many things. So this is identity crisis, they say crazy things. In the same way, we are in some identity crisis. That we say, we consider ourselves to be the body or the mind. When we refer to ourselves, we say we are just a body. But from the spiritual understanding, we know we are something more than that. So Bhagavad Gita says, we are the spirit soul. And we don't have any birth or death, even though body has. And one might ask, how can we know that we are spirit soul? Of course, we can say, we can see our body is changing all the time. Our mind is changing, you know, every second. You know, we are here at this point, maybe, you know, roaming around somewhere in India, some of you, or, you know, some other part of the world, and coming back, you know, mind is flickering all the time. So if we consider our identity just body or mind, we are actually in a misleading position. It is like, if you consider, if you are in an airplane, flying, can you see anything moving? We see everything is moving slow, or, you know, pretty much everything is same. We don't feel the motion. Why don't we feel the motion? Because we are part of it. Since we are part of the airplane, we don't feel the motion. In the same way, since we identify ourselves part of the body, then initially we don't feel the change. But if we actually analyze, we can observe the change. We can observe the change of our mind. We can observe the change of our body. What does that imply? That implies that that which is observed and the observer are different. You understand the difference? The observer and the observed are different. So that the observed are our body and the mind. And the observer has to be different from the observed. Then we can feel the difference. You see, since we can understand the mind is changing, we can understand the body is changing, then we cannot be the same as body or the mind. Because the observer has to be different. From that we can understand we are something else. And Bhagavad Gita says that something is called the spirit soul, which doesn't have any birth or death. It is eternal. That is our real identity. So the spiritual science of Bhagavad Gita is based on this understanding. And Mother Earth is saying, okay, you have to understand, you have to gain this knowledge to start a spiritual life, which is essential to know how to live in this world. Considering one spiritual progress, considering this planet. And with that, actually one can subdue the greed factor. What is the greed factor? You know, if you see the economic development, and now it is, you know, it's bursting, but however, otherwise, if you see the development of this country, in any country, if you see the technology, the economy, everything, it is based on greed. Nobody is really satisfied with what they have. Need more and more, isn't it? If somebody has got one car, need two. If one brand, better brand, anything. So this greed factor, it cannot go down just by say, okay, from tomorrow I am going to be a good person. Finished, you know, all greed go away. No, it won't work like that. We can say, but the next day we will be the same person. We may try for some time, but again, things will come back because it is deep rooted within us. So one has to actually go through the spiritual process which can actually give a permanent solution. So it comes to the concept of simple living and high thinking. You know, instead of, you know, high living and no time to think. That's what is going on at this point. So simple living means one need to live on this planet in such a way that one can develop one's spiritual knowledge, one can develop one's Krishna consciousness. And for that, whatever is required, one needs to do. So that's the essential principle. And what is sacrifice? So Mother Earth pointed the next thing. One has to perform sacrifice, or whatever resources she is providing is meant for sacrifice. So it is based on the principle whom everything belongs to. Everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. He is the source. So it is said in Sanskrit mantra, it is said Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, that Isha or the Supreme, he is the controller and maintainer of everything. So everything is belonging to him. So sacrifice means acknowledging the proprietor, acknowledging someone who is providing everything. So that is the basic thing. So here the Bhagavad Gita says, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction. And in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. So here the bondage is referring to as repeated birth and death. That is, one has to go through the cycle of birth and death. That is, after death, the spirit soul doesn't have any death. It is still alive, so it has to accept another body and come to the same planet or some other. So the whole idea is to get out from this bondage. And for that, one has to acknowledge the Supreme Lord. One has to acknowledge Vishnu, is called Vishnu here, or Krishna, doesn't matter. So one has to acknowledge. And to this end, the practical approach is, you know, we call it a parallel track approach. Because if you have seen train or tramline, it has two tracks. To balance anything, we need two tracks. You know, both wheels can rest on each. In the same way, in one's life, you know, somebody may be working, studying, or you know, whatever. In all situation, one has to cater for these two tracks. One is Swadharma. In Sanskrit, one is known as Swadharma, or one's own occupational duties. It can be a student, it can be work, anything. And next is called Sanatana Dharma, means one's eternal duty as a spirit soul. So if one can balance these two, then one can live on this planet peacefully. So Swadharma, it is pretty straightforward. Everyone, according to one's nature, has got some occupation. Some may be an artist, maybe an IT professional, maybe an engineer, maybe a businessman, maybe an accountant, maybe a farmer, so many things. Doesn't matter. However, Sanatana Dharma is constant because everyone is a spirit soul, irrespective of material identification. Maybe any kind of material body, any kind of skin, any kind of job. Doesn't matter. Everyone is individual spirit souls. So for them, there is some connection to the Supreme Soul. That connection is the science of Bhagavad Gita. It is very nicely described in Bhagavad Gita. So one has to act in Sanatana Dharma, in his eternal occupation as a spirit soul. Because one is not going to be a student for lifelong. Eternally one cannot be a student. Eternally one cannot be a working man. Not possible. But one is eternally a spirit soul. So the activities of soul, that is prescribed as Sanatana Dharma, or the eternal occupation. Sanatana means eternal, and Dharma means occupation or the duty. So it is the eternal occupation of the living entities, irrespective of the background, from anywhere. This is the thing. So in this Sanatana Dharma, we perform sacrifice in different ways. For instance, hearing about Krishna, hearing about the source of everything, coming to temple, honoring prasadam, the sanctified food, these are all part of Sanatana Dharma. We chant, we glorify the Lord by chanting the holy names. We chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We had a nice kirtan before. This is part of Sanatana Dharma. We try to develop knowledge in this regard. That is part of Sanatana Dharma. We do sankirtan, means chanting together, which is also considered very potent. In this stage, especially sankirtan yagya is considered, or the sacrifice of sankirtan, or chanting together the holy name, is considered very potent, and it is considered the prime method of spiritual development. So we do sankirtan. If you go to Sanskrit street, you see devotees chanting and dancing. It's actually called the yuga dharma, or the main duty of this age, that is chanting the glories of the Lord. It has direct impact on the environment. It has direct impact on the consciousness of people. So by doing so, it helps everyone. It helps the nature, it helps the living entities, it helps us, that everyone. So that is Sankirtan. So far, any questions? So I just stop here. Yes, sir.
You said something about the observer and the observed in some previous life.
Yeah.
Could you just elaborate what exactly you want to explain?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, it could be a bit confusing if I say observer and the observed. Say, I'm watching that clock, okay? So what observed is the clock and I am the observer. Okay, so that part is clear. Second, so I gave the example of a plane. A plane, when we are sitting in a plane, we don't really feel the motion. Why don't we feel the motion? Because we are part of it. So if we have to, and suppose you are thrown out of the plane, then we can see, oh, it is going in high speed. It's very easy to see that. So when we are out of it, when we observe from outside, we can easily see. And the second point in this regard is, the observer is different from the observed. If observer and the observed are the same, then there is no real observation, because both are same. In the same way, when we see ourselves, when we see ourselves as a spirit soul, we can observe the change of body and mind. Can we see the change of body and mind? Yes, I can see my bodily change. You know, few years back it was not like this. You know, we were kids many years back. Now it is changed. Take an old photograph, have a look, compare. Completely different. So we can see the bodily change. And the change of the mind, can we observe? Of course we can. You know, we are thinking something, the next moment something else. So we can observe the change of mind as well. So it means we cannot be body or the mind. Because if we are part of it, we cannot really observe. That is the basic principle. It's like when you are sitting in the plane, it is part of you, then you cannot really see the plane moving. No. When you see, compare with the outside, you could see, but otherwise you won't. In the same way, since we are the observer, we have to be different from the observed. So we have to be different from body as well as the mind. So that is the one point I was making. So Bhagavad Gita says, and what is that? What is different from body and mind? So Bhagavad Gita says that is spirit soul.
So you mean to say that spirit source or the spiritual consciousness, you won't able to see, or you won't able to feel of that if you are sitting inside and body, something like that?
You know, we are actually spirit soul. Exactly. We are covered with this body and mind. Yeah.
So how does, I mean, so you mean to say that through Krishna consciousness we can feel that spirit source or the evolution of spirits inside of a body?
Yeah. Krishna consciousness is a process of directly engaging spirit soul in the activities of the spirit soul. So when we study, when we hear about Krishna, when we do the devotional activities, we are actually engaging ourselves in the process of devotional service. So we are acting as spirit soul in its eternal original occupation. So when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when we hear about Krishna, when we chant, when we dance, these are actually the eternal activities of the spirit soul. So we are actually rekindling our real being. At this point, it is as if we are acting completely different way. So by Krishna consciousness, we can act originally, in our original way. It's not something new, rather, we are coming back to our original consciousness. Coming back to the original state. So that is Krishna consciousness. So it is said Krishna consciousness is not anything artificial imposition. No. It is something original.
Do you mean that the devotee is chanting, at that time only the
motion
is working, body mind is not working?
What is that?
That Krishna is chanting.
Yeah.
Now Krishna is playing. Yeah. It means only that soul is working, not the body as well.
Yeah, in one sense, the consciousness is directly involved in the process. But at the same time, we involve in the process of devotional service, we involve our body as well as mind. Because when we chant, it is a good training for the mind to listen. So we are engaging mind in the spiritual activity by listening the holy names. And when we do some devotional activities, when we clap while chanting, we are engaging our hand in service of Krishna in the spiritual engagement. So the whole idea is engaging our body and mind in spiritual services. okay, we are spirit soul, as well as we are covered in this body and mind, we engage all of them in service, in the spiritual service.
So the pertaining to the body and the mind.
Yeah, we are utilizing basically, engaging them. Why a certain people are affected and certain are not. That actually is it's a big topic, it's the karma, it's involved, because the actions and reactions are going on, everyone is in the web of actions and reactions, so you know, we cannot really say in which cycle of actions and reactions we are in or somebody else is in, so we have to see in that perspective. So that is actually one of the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. It explains the karma theory, what is meant by karma and how it is acting. Krishna says it is a complicated step. It's not so easy to understand. we can say it's karma. One line answer, But it's, we cannot just say everything karma and we cannot neglect. We are responsible, so we have to act. First to ourselves and then give to others. We cannot just blame everything, destiny, karma, finish, No. Bhagavad Gita says you can change your destiny. You can change your destiny. No problem. It's not just karma, karma. The process of Krishna consciousness is to change your karma. So it's not that we cannot blame karma for everything. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Have a nice Sunday. Hare Krishna.